Around the nation on Triple M. Welcome to another week of it with myself, Tony Martin. Ed Campbell is here. You request that now. That's your new way to travel. He'll be joining us straight out of rehab in just a few moments, but over the weekend, David Hicks, did you see any of that stuff?
9 months.
They've
been sent to a remake of the Hugh Grant film.
Oh no!
Fate worse than death.
What a nightmare! Now he's not allowed to speak to the media for 1 year after his release from captivity. Wouldn't it be great if the same restriction was imposed on Big Brother if it
comes? Oh, lovely!
Wouldn't that be a wonderful world to live in? But Peter Costello did another one of his press conferences, and have you noticed Peter Costello is starting to turn into our sketch of him?
Oh yeah.
Conspiracy theory, he was somehow linking David Hicks to the Bali bombings.
Yeah.
Apparently David Hicks was there.
I didn't know that.
Anyway, we've got that press conference here. Have a listen.
What about David Hicks? What about David Hicks?
It's not that there's a big little song, but about Hicks, that really is all about the Hicks.
Well, I'm not sure. There was a lot of
You know, I don't really follow the cousins business, but there was a bit of,
I can sort this out myself.
Yeah, I'll be fine. I'll be fine. Just help me up the floor of this nightclub, and I will be fine.
Yeah, there was quite a bit of that, and quite a bit of, I haven't done anything to feel bad about. I've never done anything immoral was one thing that kept coming. People going, I haven't done anything immoral.
And it's other people's. I mean, I spoke to a friend of mine on the weekend who is an alcoholic, and it was being screamed at for 25 minutes of, you know, it's your fault, it's your doing.
Yeah.
You know, paranoid, crazy nonsense.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of, especially with ice, because ice is very big now. And there's a lot of craziness that goes on with ice. And so you do get, you know, people coming in thinking all sorts of things, you know, thinking that they're, you know, like wanting to wear aluminium hats and stuff, you know.
Which is not working these days.
Yeah, absolutely.
Aluminium hat parade.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with the loom hat as well.
The DNA's perfecting loom hats. How long does it take to bust through the aluminium hat period?
I mean, about, it depends how seriously you needed the hat to begin with. But I would say, okay, I'd probably a week. Some people take longer, some people quite a long time. You know, like, I was talking one day, I don't know why I was talking about him, but I was talking about that, you know, that hypnotist, St. John?
Oh,
I
was St. James.
Yeah,
I was talking
to him. And this guy just turned around and lost it with me and just said, stop talking about me. You know?
Stop talking about me.
Yeah. And I went, my God, Jane, he looks so different.
Is this your watch?
So it was, you know, like some people different amounts of time. And it was kind of interesting because there was people in there like, you know, people from a married, like a mother of, you know, three who's drinking a lot. Mm. Then there'd be, you know, like somebody just got out of prison and there'd be, you know, someone on a sort of classier level like me.
Just in an aluminum suit.
Wearing my loom suit.
And did you make any, you know, did you demand to be like in business class or rehab, you know, away from the, you know, the non-celebrities?
Did
you do that sort of stuff?
I did demand that. There were actually children in there. They were the children of that. So there was kind of like some families in there. And they were a bit sus on me. For a while, until they found out that I did the voice of the yellow dog, you know. And then I was like king of the hat. I ruled that place. There was a lot of madness. I actually got told, have you heard the Ben Cousins joke? Someone told me while I was in there that the new Hungry Jack's Ben Cousins meal deal is no burger, no fries, just Coke and ice.
Well, you're back at the office, Greg Fleet. Certainly dressed for the office.
I am. I'm good. The fun, right. This is a bit of a dodgy suit because we're just filming something for the comedy festival. The brilliant Fleet with me. But I've decided I'm going to suit up. I'm going to go buy some suits and wear them. Aluminum ones.
Yeah, right. Definitely. Well, that's Greg. New catchphrase, have you got $20 for a suit?
And I also had a guy say to me one day in the arguing about music, he went, listen, I've got one word for you, Cole Jizzle. I'm not a linguist or mathematician, but
I gave me music. There's been a lot going on while you've been on the inside, Greg. We're going to bring you up to speed, and the listeners are going to be helping with that, and we'll do that next time. Get this. Thank you, Midnight Oil. Here it is, it's on Triple M. Normally, our guest is in until the second hour, but Greg Fleet is
coming. Oh, yeah, clean and serene on the team. Check it out.
So much have we mentioned footballers and Ben Cousins. Do we have the football stats from over the weekend?
The West Tigers NRL club has suffered an off-field embarrassment. It's one of its stars. Players arrested by police during a drunken incident at the Golden Slipper yesterday.
And that's the board.
There he is. I'm a West Tigers fan too, and I just want to point out that is bogus.
Is that right?
Yeah, it's just an AFL beat up to get attention off the West Coast League.
I see what you're saying.
West Tigers, West Coast. I'm confused. Oh, what? Nothing. Who? Cousins?
Not even sure. Cousins and a Tiger suit? I think it was something else called the NRL. I think that's a different kind of football.
Yeah, it's all nightclub violence. They're all tarred with the same brush or tarred with the same feathers.
Either way.
Joe Bjelke-Petersen once said.
Tarred with the same feathers.
Oh, those people are all tarred with the same feathers.
Oh, when somebody on this very network said, you know, it's not rocket surgery.
It's not rocket surgery.
Oh, yeah.
So Joe Bjelke-Petersen was full of gold like that.
He was a hero when I was growing up.
They're all the same, those different people.
One of my favourites.
He lost through the year. I met a guy who, used to be my drug dealer. He was a guy who died of scurvy.
Yes, and there's a lesson for us all.
Don't go to see him deal drugs. Eat a lot of oranges.
Oh, how did he get scurvy?
Because he wouldn't eat vegetables.
And he was on board a ship in the 17th century. That didn't help.
He was a big fan of Milosevic.
Was he a big Milosevic man?
Yeah, he was a big, along the Joe Bjelke-Petersen line, I said something about Milosevic one day, which I thought was fairly user-friendly, like that guy's a bit of a nut job.
Here's the head on to me.
Okay.
Oh, moving on. What about in Sydney over the weekend? The lights out for an hour. Did you guys hear about that? We'll be talking about
global warming, didn't it?
Solved it.
Yeah, hey,
that was it.
Oh, God's gone to bed.
Let's see, have we got a clip from that action?
Almost 65,000 households and 2,000 businesses picked off the splits between 7:30 and 8:30 p.m. Hollywood actress Kate Blanchett showing her support for the cause.
Okay. It's pulling down the Tower of Babel. I reckon any budding criminal in the Sydney area would have gone with an hour.
The moon is gone. In the next hour of the show, we'll be finding out what you got up to during the Hour of Darkness, but also over the weekend, David Gulpilil's no-show. Rob, magistrate, did you see this court story?
Was that the one about latte sipping?
Yeah, that's right. David Gulpilil failed to show up at a scheduled court appearance at the Darwin Magistrates Court on the weekend. Gulpilil's lawyer told the court her client was interstate, possibly in Victoria. The judge, magistrate David Lodeman, said, could be New York, you never know.
What?
What does that mean? Nobody's quite sure. He's obviously got some problem with Gulpilil. It could be in New York. The case went on a little bit further. The magistrate said decisions relating to Gulpilil were sensitive, bearing in mind his status in the eyes of the latte-sipping sets of Turak and elsewhere.
And elsewhere.
What's that about?
That's like that guy.
Sounds like an uppity black man. Yeah.
Going around here sipping your latte. That's like the guy who said the thing about Osama bin Laden. We're pretty sure Osama bin Laden is in Afghanistan, dead, or somewhere else.
So we've eliminated all other possibilities. But then, in an even more inexplicable passing comment, Lodeman, Magistrate Lodeman, referred to Gulpilil's recognition in 2005 as the Australian of the Year, or the Northern Territory Australian of the Year. It intrigues me to know that the Australian of the Year is someone who has done a bucket bong on national television the day before he gets an award. Anyway, such is life.
What?
Just throw that in.
The golf pulled a BB on television.
What show was he on?
Not any enterprise.
But that's pretty traditional. I mean, other Australians of the year have done that. I think Fred Hollows might have gone the bucket bong.
He pulled a bucket bong with his eyes.
The Seekers over Australians of the year. The four bucket bongs in a row.
Yeah.
Good TV. How's that? Watch out for David Lodeman.
Oh, yeah. If you pull the bucket bong on television the day before you receive a major award, don't be going up in front of Magistrate Lodeman going, getting your lawyer to change the daily bucket.
Hey, there's been a lot more going on while you've been inside. I agree.
I was, all I found out about when I was in there was, who was running the book. I didn't hear about anything on the outside. I was, I went with Dee Smith and she was doing in the laundry.
Oh, really? Right, yeah. Did you fashion a shiv from a plastic fork?
I fashioned a shiv out of the city of Prague.
Ages. Yeah, that was in the first week.
Yeah.
I remember having done it in the second week. We'll be bringing you up to speed next.
See, everybody's mad, aren't they? You know, we're all mad. I'm mad.
Really?
Yeah.
It's Get This around the nation on Triple M. I've just had it confirmed that Get This Podcast 70
is up and running.
Oh, the 7-0.
I wish I could see what was in it. But
stuff's great.
It's full of cheese and bacon and natural roasted veggies.
Oh, yeah. Can we...
Hello.
I wanted to ask you, Tony. You always say it's bacon-filled, the podcast.
It certainly is. Cholesterol-filled.
Yeah, but what does that mean? Is that in relation to sizzle?
It means that we're coming with... It's just got so much in there. Okay. You know, it's like a big burger that you know isn't good for you, but you're going to eat it all anyway.
It's like a Western double cheese.
Can you remember anything that's in there, Nicky? Tony Mulcahy is telling that very defamatory story about something that happened at another radio station.
Oh.
Not this one.
Oh, no.
Lawrence Leung, there's all kinds of gear in there, okay. And a little bit of Peter Costello, I'm sure.
I'm going to say it's a bit light on the fleet man for mine.
As if you've done nothing for weeks.
Hello.
Hey, there has been a lot going on. And we've been promising to get to it, so we've got to do that. But before that music, Greg, I don't know if you're up to this. Can you play the same chord over and over again, just the same four notes on a synthesizer? Could you do that for us?
Yeah, I can do it right now.
All right, go. Around the nation, where for the first time ever we've let someone else into the room during the first hour. It's Greg Fleet.
I don't like him.
Oh, bleeding?
Don't go near him. He's not worth it. He is a dirty man.
Come on, Mr. Howard, your thoughts? Sure, one of those. Hey, let's go and talk Big Mountain. Simply what's Fleety miss?
Mm-hmm.
And let's get back into rehab just for a moment, Fleety.
You go back to your home on Whore Island.
Sports. Was there much of the word sports in there?
There was. It was volleyball. I became king of the bring. Because I'd say, let's bring it. And people would understand what I meant. It took a while. And then, I was at one stage three wise men came with frankincense.
Not in here. None of that frankincense.
Don't be bringing it. Yeah, that's contraband. You don't be bringing that. But we'd play volleyball all the time. And it would get a bit willing at times. And I actually brought it a bit Ben Stiller style. Someone's
playing. Oh, yeah.
Excellent. Yeah, that really helped in my recovery, although it made them relapse, but hey, whatever, you know, that's their story. One day, hit the ball, there was a little, the weird thing about being there is you could, you know, there's a little, like, small fence, and then there's the world. So some people would just stand there and look, and go, oh, the world. And one guy just hit the ball over the fence one day, and went, oh, I'll go get it. So we went, okay. And I was still there. But quite a long time before someone went, I don't reckon he's coming back.
Really? Not that low thing. Hit the McFarlane.
I know. And then it opened. It was just a can of worms. And everyone went, oh, my God, there's a universe out there. And like, I was surprised they had cars and stuff when I came out. I mean, I was gone for 6 weeks. I was surprised. I thought everything would be changed when I came back. But it's amazing. I mean, you guys got really long, like, down to your ass hair.
Yeah, or like, sitting here on hover chairs.
Yeah, I know. I was wondering. I thought you just had invisible legs. Oh,
it's worrying. We've had so many emails, people wishing you well. Roma has written to say, did Greg Fleet really go into rehab? I suppose he'll put it into his show. He is amazing. Can't wait to see you all in your Capril tapes. You'll see me in mine at the Balaclava Hotel. Ha 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 ha. And she rides off into the sunset.
She's
laughing like a maniacal loon.
Does she work at the Balaclava Hotel?
No, no, but she's got a cape on.
Oh.
You see, it is Capril. It started yesterday. We want people to go to work, go about their business here in Australia wearing a cape. All we demand. Take a photo of it, send it to us. Best photo at the end of the month gets the big ass fancy 24-inch iMac.
Three runners up will get a box of sand. I thought it was a competition where you had to obtain a pig. Because it was like a play bomb. Medieval basted meat festival.
Could you just step under the window? Are you seeing any capes out in the street, any at all? Obviously, only people who listen to this program would be aware that it's going on. It'll happen. It'll happen. At the end of the month, there'll be some funny photos, I'm sure, even if we have to fake them ourselves.
You're in October.
We invented Rollvember.
Rollvember.
I can't say Rocktober was one of mine. Rollvember was me. Funkuary was me. Rapral was good, but it looked like Rapral when you wrote it.
The whole thing came to a horrible ending, but we did try and float those.
I like Rollvember. It shows an enormous amount of thought. Who cares?
Years ago, there was a station in Rocktober, and we used to have them at the post every year by having Rocktember. Just getting it a month early.
Well, that's always fun.
But what has been going on? Okay, that's been going on. The lights off thing has been going on.
Yeah.
Geelong footballer drank a bottle of sunscreen. All those things.
The bloke's been selling boxes of sand on the internet, putting them off his computer.
These drugs then. Brownlow medalist for this year. Got drunk, jumped someone's fence, and on the back porch, ran out of booze, found a bottle of sunscreen, drank it.
Oh, that's nice work.
I think
someone needs to go to Canberra and visit the place.
Just like turning up with a sunscreen to start.
Let me in. What other things have been happening? Richard Marvel, you've been keeping pretty quiet today. What's been going on while Rick's been inside?
How about the New South Wales election? Did you know about that, lady?
That happened. Yes, I did know about that because I was in Canberra. It was nearby.
Morris Yama won. And Peter Debnam.
How did Peter Debnam go there, Rich?
How did he go?
Get those figures for you.
Someone with a piece of paper.
I listened to the radio in Canberra and they had Peter Debnam owned a prawn hatchery that went broke. He's the kind of man who went running the state.
The heads are hilarious. The ones ahead of the Victorian election where Ted Bayou will have to leave the room every time sensitive matters are discussed. And it was just a shot of somebody getting up and leaving a boardroom table, and then there's a time left and their drink's gone down a bit further and he's getting up and leaving again. And I saw that with the sound down and I'm going, gee, I don't know who it is, but gee, wouldn't want them running the state. They've got a bladder problem. I'm leaving the meeting. But we are getting into that American style attack. That Hillary business, that 1984 business on the YouTube.
Yeah.
Don't you think we're going to see a bit of that this year?
It's going to be a juicy year for
politics. It could go wrong, though, because I just got stuck on the proprietary thing. And just went, oh, he's got access to fraud. I want him. I want him to be in charge. So he can bring it garlic prawn style. I'm hoping.
Bring it. I'm sure there's been more that you've missed. We want people to call up in today. And sorry, I just said the Shane Bourne.
Sorry about that.
We have got a prize today. We have tickets to see Il Dago. Oh, don't they go off?
With your Simon Palomares.
And your George Capionaris. Yeah. And I think your,
Richard Marsland,
doing the fourth role.
And the guy who played Trapper in Match.
McLean Stevenson.
Yeah, McLean Stevenson.
Trapper, really. Elliot Gould in the film version.
Oh, nice.
Who was in Aftermath? Here's a question. Let's see how rehab you are, lady. Who was in Aftermath? Who made it to the sequel?
Okay, Aftermath was Klinger.
Yes,
was Father Mulcahy.
Correct.
And was it Raider?
I couldn't get Raider.
You know what? Those would be the three characters I hated the most in the show.
They couldn't fill even one episode.
Colonel Potter, man, he never worked for me. Oh, this is not a Colonel Potter.
He was a great guy.
Yeah,
he was McLean Stevens. Yeah, actually. Who was Trapper John? That was
Burnell Roberts.
Not rich.
Yeah.
We'll get to the callers if we all
became a spin-off. There was a strap.
Yeah, that was Burnell. Who actually played him in the TV series?
Which he wasn't the same guy who played him in the
TV. We're not playing What Did Bleedy Miss 30
years ago. We're playing what's he been for the last 6 weeks could be something in your life, people.
Yeah, ring up.
Except there's anything at all. What's Bleedy Miss? 133353.
Are you still having fun here at Get This? Greg Fleet is here. He's been out of town for a while.
Yeah.
What's he missed? Who's going first?
Hi, Steph. How are you?
Hello. How are you?
Good, man. What is Fleety miss?
Fleety, you missed my sore throat.
Oh!
And what happened, Steph?
Oh, it's pretty sore.
They're like that, those sore throats. I can't believe I missed that. But I started to feel I was across just about everything. So I had that sneaky suspicion. I thought, I bet you something just got under the wire.
But that's the biggest thing in 6 weeks, Steph.
Yeah.
Yeah. I read something about throat inciters. Don't confirm reports of soreness.
Yep.
I didn't know it was true.
Jeez, mate. Yeah.
Still a diners were a gun.
Yeah.
How are you feeling now?
Oh, I'm feeling better. I was just really cut that footy wasn't around, that's all.
Yeah, I understand.
I'm sorry, no. I felt I had some serious personal issues I had to deal with, but really, had I known that you were going to get sore throat, I would have just put that on hold.
Well, I'm afraid we didn't get any other call.
Not true. Who else is there, Ed?
Blair, how are you?
G'day, how are you?
Really good, man. What does Bleedy miss?
Bleedy miss being accused of flicking hash in a chick's face.
Face and swished away haughtily.
Oh, was this something you would do?
Am I right? Is that how it went down, Blair?
Yeah, well, that's the lady accusing of Bleedy of going that was saying that. Yes, that's right.
Yeah,
that allegedly, right. But it sounds like Judge Blair wants to hear the other side of the story.
Yeah, I want to know a bit more about it.
Oh, it sounds like that in that film City of Men. I don't know if you've seen that film. There's
Children of Men.
It's good. But there's somebody does that to one of their fans and gets killed. Chevy Diego.
Well, years ago, Val Kilmer was accused of extinguishing a cigarette on a crew member's face during the making of Dr. Moreau, but this is only serving to distract from you.
Do you not recall doing this?
No, I don't recall doing that. It doesn't seem like my style.
I didn't think it was either, Bleedy. I thought you were far better person than that, mate.
Absolutely. I mean, I may have done it, not on purpose. She may have said,
"This is hello,"
and I may have thought, because I was stoned, I may have thought, "Yeah." She said, "Could you put that together, my
friend?" I think we've got to the heart of the matter. I'm just glad that Blair has been wondering about that for 5 weeks. Thank you, Blair.
Thanks, Blair.
Bertie, how are you?
G'day, boys. You missed the very short run hit of Wayne Rogers rekindling the rock musical Ian.
Wayne Rogers in the TV version of Mesh, Elliot Gould in the movie, and then Purnell Robertson, Trap of John M.D. I'm glad we sorted that out. But Ian, of course, was a fine musical, or at least part musical, You and the Empty Pockets did years ago.
Wayne Rogers has revived Ian.
How magical.
Yeah, pretty obscure.
That's amazing. And there was actually an Aboriginal death in custody sketch in that particular show. It's a bit politically, we were on the ball.
Did you see Ian years ago?
I did, yeah, it was a ripper.
Yeah,
it was
a ripper.
Good. I reckon Ian's good.
It was good, I liked it. There was actually a whole song about Ian that went, Ian, oh Ian, living in the submarine, dressed in your denim, Ian, when you go with a banana skiing. And then it got really sad at the end, it went, Ian, oh Ian, I can still hear you scream. Maybe it's all a dream.
If Ian thought to bust out that song at the press conference, nobody would be interested in samples.
No.
I'd just go, what a lovely song.
Finally, Deborah, how are you?
I'm good.
What's Bleedy miss?
He's missed teabagging in Mr. Ballsack.
From a concerned man from
the Gold Coast.
Lee from the Gold Coast saying that he's worried that the testes are going unfulfilled and unnoticed in society.
In our penis obsessed culture.
Yeah.
And
Crystal thankfully reassured him that testes are important
as the practice of teabagging becomes more common. Did you see that letter, did you, Deborah?
No, but I heard you talking about it on the radio, and I was absolutely gobsmacked.
So, Fleety, you're across the teabagging
here. I assume they go somewhere, but where do they go? I agree with that guy. I reckon it's more sack action.
Well, thanks to everyone who called.
Thank you, everybody.
All of the other callers.
I can't believe I missed all this.
They were calling up to tell you that John Inman died while you were on the inside.
I didn't know that.
Oh, it's terrible.
Yeah. Oh, matron! I had no idea.
Well, hopefully, we've got Tom Gleeson coming in the next hour, but do you want to stick around and just lurk in the background for a couple of breaks?
I'll stick around just to ease Tom Gleeson into the vibe of the crazy show.
Well, yes. I get this version and he'll be next. Yes.
He can do that, you know. What is it? Don't get the jollies off or something, you know, it's all this sort of stuff. Wearing a cape on the
And it was falling apart, wasn't it?
They demolished everything except your studio. We got out on a lift and it just looked like a burned out floor.
I know, because everyone had got really excited and just started kicking in the walls and stuff, and they forgot that our show was still going.
Oh, the Greg Fleet's still here.
Last time we were working together was in a zoo in Adelaide.
Really?
Now that sounds like that would have been ages ago, but it was Saturday.
Yeah.
A huge comedy gig in the middle of a zoo, like you'd hear lions roaring and stuff in the background. It sounds terrible, but it's actually fantastic.
Heckled by any fauna?
I'm just thinking, when I first walked in there,
over to the Middle East.
Oh, yeah, the looking.
Well, it was good, but it always gets a bit tense when I mention it, because people think that by going over there to entertain the troops, it means that you support the war. I just want to point out, first of all, that I didn't just go there to do comedy. I went there to kill civilians.
Oh, good.
I killed 12 with one brick, and I got some petrol duty free. I just want you to know that my politics are all sorted and well thought out.
Is it a new Tiki tour they're doing? We can
get over there
and get over there. Have a go.
It's a great place to pick up.
As you go on with your list of material, going, oh, I can't do that one here. Well, that's not going to play in Baghdad.
Well, I was told I couldn't swear at one gig.
Really?
And I was like, man, this is a war zone. If I get shot, I'll unleash. I'm not going to be shot going, oh, sugar, oh, flipping heck, my guts are falling out. I wouldn't want to offend a lady. Oh, please. Oh, gee.
So who did you go over with?
I went over. It's like a whole. It's like there's a rap band, the Air Force band, and there was some country music singers called the McClymonts, and there was Alan Caswell, who wrote the theme song to Prisoner. This was not the first tour.
The guy who plays the gum leaf on Australia's Got Talent.
He was there. Yep. The person used to do the. Sorry, I was the only comedian, which was great. So there's no competition. I was the only one in the entire war zone making jokes at all. So anything I said was good.
Wow, and what else have you been doing? What else will be forming fuel for Tom on?
Well, I'm going to be talking about how I bought a Monaro, but I can't quite explain that to you now because it'll take an hour, which is pretty much the show. But there's a bit of that. Yeah, I bought a new Monaro out of the trading post, if that's not a contradiction.
Oh, it's green.
Yeah, it is. It looks like a giant BB can. I love it. I love it. So my whole show is just me gloating about my new car. Gloating away.
In my day.
So, yeah, there's a few tangents on my time in the Middle East, and I talk about lighting fires.
And also, is this true, Tom? You were Australia's brainiest radio star?
Yeah, I did. I went on Australia's brainiest radio star. I actually went on there to promote my show that I had on Triple M.
Yeah.
But I'd been let go the day before. It was a bit weird. And then I won, and because I won, they didn't let me back.
Think about it, Tom. Radio star. I've got to get him to air quick.
Yes.
Things can change in a hurry in radio.
Well, Sandra Sully at the time was talking to various people about how they'd done in the ratings and your show's going really well, and everyone was saying, what, just stop this. Stop talking about this, because it's not going to mean anything if this gets aired in a week's time.
And why are you a naturally brainy person, or is just the standard in radio of intelligence so low?
Yeah.
What is it? I mean, are you a brainiac?
Well, yeah, I did pretty well at uni. I did a science degree. My special topic that I did was the mechanics of physics.
Oh,
and I knocked Matt Parkinson out, which he doesn't like to talk about, because he's the big quiz master on the case.
Yeah, sure is.
Well, he's the second best quiz master.
And he won Sale of the Century.
He did win Sale of the Century. He didn't win the one I was in. I won it, as it turns out.
Okay.
Oh,
a bit unfair, because I saw that, and you were going physics and hard sciencey stuff, and there were other people answering questions on, like, Brangelina.
That's
a bit unfair.
Well, they didn't know their Brangelina as well as I knew my physics, and that's their mistake.
While we're all gloating about brains, I think you're looking at the fifth brainiest comedian in the country.
Well, how offended do I feel? I've got put in the radio star episode even though I'm a comedian. What were they trying to say? I didn't even get to go in the comedian episode or the TV star episode, which I have dubious claims to as well.
What are your claims? Which one are you claiming for?
I used to be on a TV show once.
Yeah.
Well, you saw the other people in the episode. They were just people who weren't on TV shows, because if you're in a TV show, you couldn't get in the episode because you were busy making your TV show.
I want to know Australia's brainiest voiceover for Home Hardware Dogs.
And when are they doing just brainiest nerd?
Oh,
that's what we'll get to call.
That'd be good.
All of the questions about late period Steven Seagal films. I think we'll be ready to do it.
Straight to video.
Hey, I think we've got, you'll like this, I think we've got physics and motion studies.
Oh, they're good.
Coming up next, we'll take a look. Get this on Triple M. Tom Gleeson is with us on the panel.
Hello.
It's time to say goodbye to Greg Fleet, who sat in for the last hour and a half.
No, I'm not going anywhere. No, serious. I'm just leaving the studio.
Family responsibility.
Yeah, I'm not, I haven't slept. I haven't just, everything's cool. Yeah. I'm not pissed.
No.
Although, I must say, Triple M, in their wisdom, waited until I got out of rehab to present me with a bottle of champagne during Cage on stage, which I was just going to say, just, why not up the end? Give me a couple of grams of coke.
I need to be on much later in this day for that. So we're going to play you out with the It's a Knockout theme, and we're going to wish you well with your show, Fleetwood Mick, at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival.
I'll come back and see you before the end of the festival and talk that up.
We'll be seeing you in for a check-up in a couple of weeks.
Unless I've got to go somewhere. Okay.
Now that he's left Tom, we can give a bracket on him. What do you really think about Greg Fleet?
Oh, man. You know, to be honest, I said, can he lend me some money? I'm one of the only people who owes him money. Did you know that? Yeah, because once he needed change for a phone, he needed change for a phone, he gave me $5, I gave him $4.80 in change.
Yeah.
And I said, see what's happened? I owe you money. There's the twist.
Well, he's laughing now. And he's come in wearing a proper suit today, because the last time he came in, he was just wearing a caftan, because it was Saturday caftan day, and he was led from the building by security guards.
I'm actually on a program.
Yeah, sure you are.
Yeah.
Tom, Ed Cavalier's sitting here. You say you've worked with him before.
Yeah, Ed came on my show that I had on Triple M.
Yeah, years ago.
Yeah.
Tom and Subby.
Yeah, the Tom and Subby show. The evening show. Yes.
It was a great show.
Yeah.
And I do actually remember when I was working at the, as one of the Black Thunders, coming in after a late barbecue at a tire place that went all day. And we came in, and it was like people were literally using the fire extinguisher to bash holes in the wall.
That's right.
While you guys were trying to do a show.
We were trying to do a show. It was almost as if no one had any interest in our show.
And this is because Triple M was moving buildings, and the great thing about moving buildings is you get to trash the old one.
That's right. And we were the only ones left in the building while they were smashing it.
Literally.
That and the fact that we hadn't had an air check for a year made me think maybe we weren't going to be on Triple M anymore. And the other thing was that we never had a producer until they told the person who was operating phones, would you like to be the producer? And they said, yeah, all right. Do I get more money? No. And then they said, there you go, you got a producer now. I said, wow, you almost tricked me there.
One of the great functions that get this provides here on the station is it's a venue for people who have been back from the station.
I know.
To come back and vent their spleen.
No, I'm trying to vent it in the most polite, rational way.
No, we don't care. It's not part of the fun.
And one day we hope for the same courtesy.
Are you listening? It'll happen. And, of course, doing a nighttime show, we get great callers from all around the country. We've got our Queensland callers back now. Is behind us. What kind of callers do you get at night time?
Oh, we got a lot of high school kids who were supposed to be doing their homework but were listening to the radio.
Yes.
We got drunk, lonely people.
How lonely?
Really? Lonely enough to talk to us for off air as well as on. we had a lot of regular callers. We had there was Shaggy's Pizza we used to talk to a lot because they used to give us free pizza. And I'd always mention them over and over, Shaggy's Pizza. I might even get one now. I'm angling for one. I haven't had lunch yet.
Well, we should be talking. What's that place? The all-you-can-eat place? Not Sizzler, the other one?
Smorgies.
You want to see a Bay Marie pull up out the front.
I used to do breakfast on Triple M Melbourne, and I'd listen to Gavin and Coxie.
Yeah.
Gavin Ward and Jeff Cox on another station. They started like at 5, we started at 6, so you'd listen to them on the way in.
Mm.
And it was just, oh, very good friends at Brumbies. And we said, how many very good friends can you have? Which is fishing. They're on bacon. Coxie loading the boot with pastries at the end of a shift. It does go on in radio.
Oh, man.
Not on this show. What free stuff, since we've been doing
chili
over a year, what free stuff have you got, Ed? And it's on the table.
I got a captain.
Mm-hmm. I got a captain.
The first week we were here, some Xbox games arrived.
I've had about 3 CDs.
Yeah, oh, you had a CD. Oh, I got a preview episode of Looking for a New Pussycat Doll last week.
All right.
Pretty happy with that. But I remember when I was doing the Black Thunder, it was just, thick all day, every day. And wrong word. So,
too late.
One guy was away for about 3 months. He shall Luke remain nameless. And he got back. And he just, I hadn't seen him yet. But the first time I saw him, he had his car backed up to where we kept the prices. He's just filling the boot with things.
It's a radio tradition. You're backing up the car to the price cupboard.
You know what I got? We were sponsored by a Porto Chicken. And on the first day, they promised me a gold card to a Porto Chicken.
Oh. A gold card?
Yeah. It never turned up, though.
Well, burgers, whenever.
Well, it would have been, but it's never turned up.
Mm.
2 years of promising. It's coming. I'm serious. 2 years of it's going to get here any second now. There's been a slight complication.
And so what happens when you get your gold card? Just unlimited chicken.
I could have unlimited Portuguese chicken.
Yeah.
Portuguese chicken.
I don't know whether we actually were responsible for this, but we like to claim responsibility. There was a show, there's another show up the road. A shop just up the road from the station called the Chicken Machine.
Oh, I think I've been there.
And we were talking, it's like a, normal chicken rotisserie kind of a place.
I couldn't say this before, but I actually like it more than a Porto.
Oh.
I couldn't say that while they were my sponsor, but I can say it now, I actually do like them better.
But the Chicken Machine,
where do we send the gold card to?
But what goes on at the Chicken Machine? It's like something from a racer hit. We talked about them so much that one day I was driving to work, went past them, now the chicken specialist.
Yeah.
It's very zingy. Great name.
Ooh.
Specialist. Nice pun.
Who was the tunnel operator? I noticed you didn't know puns while Fleeting was here. Now he's left. Bang.
Yeah.
Out of the blocks. Yeah, you were in Sydney over the weekend, weren't you?
Yeah. I went to the V Festival. That was massive.
But was that during the lifestyle business?
Yeah, it was.
Because,
You've got, the Pixies and New York Dolls and stuff, pretty straight up and down rock and roll bands. If the power goes off, you can pretty much survive acoustically. Pet Shop Boys, though, the drum machine.
There's no acoustic way out of that. Well, let's find out what people did
when the lights were out. Let's do that next.
I can't understand what all the fuss is about.
On Triple M, I think you'll find Tom Gleeson is with us. The Melbourne International Comedy Festival. When does it officially kick off, Tom?
The Melbourne Comedy Festival Gala, the live event, is this Wednesday, but the whole festival starts on Thursday.
Wow. And Tom on is going to be one of the shows to see. I think our Queensland listeners, we talked a fair bit of Queensland last week. What about Sydney?
Oh, yeah.
Over the weekend. That hour of darkness business. Have we got that clip again, Richie?
Almost 65,000 households and 2,000 businesses flipped off the switch between 7:30 and 8:30 p.m. Hollywood actress Kate Blanchett showing her support for the cause.
Luminous. Kate Blanchett, replaced by a more energy-efficient actress.
Yeah, she's
very handy on the light.
Sounds like she hurt herself on a cosmetic sponsorship.
Did you? I mean, you were there, Richard. What were you saying? Was it lights out of the venue where you were?
Certainly not. No. I mean, it was 60,000 people wanting to hear electric rock music. It's totally the time for Earth Hour.
Was it switch all the power or just the light?
Maybe it was just the lights.
I think it's the lights.
I haven't
been through one of those. We had a brownout once at our house. Have you ever had a brownout?
I don't know. It doesn't sound pleasant. I'm not really into double entendre normally, but that does not sound pleasant.
It's not what it sounds like. Okay. When there's a sort of half power cut, have you heard that, Rich?
When it sort of flickers on and off.
Yeah, exactly.
It feels like an earthquake or something.
Yeah, and some of you can turn on some things and you can't turn on other things.
Yeah, I've had one of them.
But
have you?
Yeah. I was just at the Adelaide Fringe Festival, and on stage, every night, halfway through the show, the lights would just, there was like a surge, and they just dip. But it always felt like, you know, I'd blink.
Oh, yeah.
But it's like, is that just me? Like, I thought I'd lost control of one of my blinks.
Yeah. But
it's like when you're on a tram, and it goes over the, and the, all lights go out just for a second, you're like, was that just me or everyone? Did we all blink, everyone?
Just for a second. Global warming is a thing of the past.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Now, what do people get up to?
Losing.
Hope for losing.
Yeah.
I would be standing there with my watch and a brick in the other hand, and as soon as those lights go off, new shoes. Right, the price goes. Well, let's find out what listeners got up to when the lights went out. Give us a call.
Or to make it, that's quite Sydney-centric.
Yeah, sure.
To try and make it more like nation-centric. Yeah.
What have you done in a blackout?
Blackout fun.
Call us if you remember. Wow. Why not the lights off? Little bugs were coming down all around. Give us a call from anywhere you want. 1-3-3-5-3. Yeah, that's around the nation on Triple M. That'd be your hunters and collectors. Tom Gleeson is with us. With us. That's right.
Yeah.
It's Monday. I haven't done the vocal warm-up. A little old lady was mutilated late last night. There you go. We love them on this show. Tom's show, Tom On, is coming to the Melbourne International Comedy Festival and then possibly to your town. The light went out for a good cause in Sydney over the weekend.
Yeah, and we are joined by Owen from Queensland. How are you, sir?
Yeah, how you going?
Good. How did you celebrate the blackout?
We didn't actually have the blackout up here, I think.
Fair enough.
But no, I was just calling about, you know, when the lights went out.
Yeah.
Me and mates were sitting around having a few beers, and anyway, had a blackout, decided it was the wise thing to do was run around the street nude, yelling and screaming, and anyway, the power came back on after about 5 minutes, so we thought we'd be at a hotel at home after that. So, yeah.
Neighbours come out, do people join in?
No, we just had a whole lot of old people screaming, you know, your bloody kids and all that sort of thing.
Still, my camera phone won't work.
Wouldn't it be no good if your lights went out, you ran outside nude and you realised it was just a circuit breaker in your house?
Well, good on you, Owen. You're making it to the,
we get a lot of stories like that on this show.
We do.
I don't know why that is.
Now, keeping in touch
with the program forum. You know, does John Lawson get calls like that?
I think
so. Rather than nude. Give us a call.
They They do, but with political commentary.
Yeah.
Judge Roy Bean wouldn't have run about
them. Who's Judge Roy Bean?
I don't know. Somebody who likes to hang people. I think he knows a bill with Paul Newman.
All right.
He's a big time hanging head.
Yeah, he's going.
Lord, he has him on every day.
Who have we got?
Is that Glenn? Are you there, Glenn?
How you going?
Good. Are you calling us from Brisbane as well?
I am, yeah.
So did the lights out over the weekend?
Oh, no. This was a few years ago, actually.
What happened?
Well, I used to work at Hungry Jack's with my girlfriend.
Oh, yeah.
The lights went out, and she called me out in the back and into the change rooms we went.
Oh. And,
Did you employ her tonight?
She's been great.
Yeah, Glenn, is that one of your wildest fantasies come true? You know, in the back of a fast food joint with the lights on?
Oh, it has to be in the top 10.
Really?
Sesame seeds in your back.
Oh,
like that.
Yeah. Well, good on you, Glenn.
I have to say, Glenn, you're not alone here because Ed Cleverly apparently did the same thing at the video shop you told us about this one day.
Yeah, yeah, during...
Under the photos.
Well, thank you.
Ah, you remember.
Thank you for taking notes, Glenn. May I recommend it? You want to get on the Freddos with the, you know, with the kind of liquid centre? The sort of the honeycomb ones are a bit rough, if you know what I'm saying, a bit hard. It's more of a waterbed effect if you're on the peppermint one.
Yeah, I'm pushing for the cushion.
Well, congratulations. You don't still work there, do you, Glenn?
No.
Are you taking it to bigger and brighter things? Have you ever, you know what I mean, made sweet love somewhere else?
Well, I drive a truck now, so if anyone's interested.
If anyone's interested, just start hitchhiking you. That was
great. I love action when you drive a truck going by our callers. Thanks very much, Glenn. Tom, have you ever had a job where you could make love in the back room?
Oh, yeah, I used to work at Triple M. Only management used to do that,
yeah,
not me.
Right.
It seems to me, I'm just looking at your press release here. I knew you'd gone to the Middle East to entertain our troops, but Afghanistan as well.
Yeah, well, part of the first show to go up to the hills of Afghanistan, which is very exciting. And one of the camps I was in is actually where John Howard just was. He was up there in Tarinkout, and that particular camp, they had all the lights out. And you'd walk around with complete blackout and ask the guy...
Was it for global warming or...
Make sure John didn't know where they were.
Yeah. No, I asked and they said the reason why we got all the lights out is that's so that it's we're not at target for rocket attacks.
Sure.
And so then I went and did the gig that night and what did they have? That spotlight on my head. It was the only light on in the whole camp.
Here comes the comic.
Yeah. Doing sightseeing? Doing sightseeing on the tour?
Well, we weren't really allowed outside the camps because there was a war on.
Yeah.
So we couldn't get around so much. But I did play cricket with the local Afghanis. They're allowed inside the camp. Some of them, not the bomby ones, the nice ones.
And we're the ones with good arms. The local Afghanis calling you your first baller character. So let's get up.
Yeah. All-Star goes over there as well. It's quite amazing.
Yeah. Hey, you know what we do love on the telly is angry current affairs programs.
Yes.
You know, where... Or current affairs programs where there don't seem to be enough news. So they go and make news.
Don't make them up.
We're sending actors out the street to do stuff. Possibly drunk.
Yes.
Let's have one of those next. I'll get there. Yeah, get this on Triple M. Tom Gleeson is with us. What are you watching on the telly at the moment, Tom?
Man, I watched, I don't even know the name, but I saw it last night where they're looking for a new pussycat doll.
Oh, yeah.
Now, given the state of the current pussycat dolls, I'm happy to help them look for others.
You're available.
Yeah.
You're a good man. You saw that show, didn't you, Ed?
I'm in, basically.
Well,
I'm in.
Let's, yeah,
let's keep looking until they're up to like 40 or 50 in that band. I think it's a good thing.
And this is people who have heard the song Loosen Up Those Buttons.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I'd like to sing that or a song that's similar. Loosen Up Your Trousers, I'll sing that as well. Whatever.
But they started out the show and they've got like this kind of the creator of the Pussycat Dolls.
That's right.
Very scary looking woman.
She is.
A lot of work done. And the more work she's had done, the more she looks like Brian Dennehy.
It's quite
a strange look that she has. But anyway, one of the contestants was saying, you know, I love PCD. That's what we call in the biz. Because it's all about female empowerment. You know, the song, I Don't Need a Man, and I don't need a man. Well, okay, you don't need a man except one to teach you all the dancing and all the singing and then tell you if you can be in the band or not.
Yeah, I know.
You know what I'm saying? But I've looked at how they do it, Tom. How they jib us. Because I was wondering, you know, how do they shake it so
so wonderfully and sing at the same time. But what they do, and they showed it up in the audition, there's only one of them singing at any time. All of the background, like the all that stuff, that's all just backing track. And then you only have to do one line, like, you know, that's it. And then it's all,
it. Man, you'd fear that line coming up. So, I mean, you're doing, so you're busting some wicked moves there.
Yeah,
you've got your lingerie on, you're worried about it falling off, and the line's coming up, and you're like, I've got to nail this. Take it!
Or whatever the line is.
And then you've got to move on.
Yeah, because I'm so annoyed. We love a hard-hitting current affairs show. Current Affair last week, we're doing all kinds of wacky antics. So we're discovering people have had oil coming out of their wall for religious reasons. they had to act it out to the street to pretend to be drunk.
Yeah,
and we thought, why should they have all the fun? We need one of them shows.
Absolute Bollocks.
Tonight on Absolute Bollocks, the Brisbane home has been turned into a shrine for hundreds of fans. I guess he'll now be claiming workers' comp.
Absolute Bollocks.
I ate nothing but cheese for a year and a half. Not even for a story on the show.
Absolute Bollocks.
Aaron Hinch has done something again.
Absolute Bollocks.
Absoball, as we call it, which is itself, you get the idea, it's over to me doing a slightly different voice. What would happen if there was no news to report? I guess you'd have to create some news of your own. That's why we got a whole lot of actors to pretend to be trying to drive home piss, and then stitched up unwitting members of the general public by secretly filming them doing nothing about it. But the music doesn't give the game away. Just look at that. That man's doing nothing. What a bastard. Here's how a man captioned psychologist reacted to our obnoxious scenario.
Well, as you can see, these people aren't stopping to help at all.
Breakdown of morals in society?
No. I mean, everything's just so piss poor. Why would you?
But it doesn't end there. Look at this film of the same actors performing a new one-act play by Joanna Murray Smith in the round in the middle of this busy city intersection.
Stopping to appreciate the pithy comments about the middle class. The stuff in minimalist staging arouses no interest whatsoever.
Absolute Bollocks.
Bollocks for one show. We'll be back to wind things up in a moment. I'll get this with Triple M. Great, I'm
tonight here at Gillette.
Oh, thank you very much.
Tom on, when does it start at the Melbourne Comedy Festival?
It starts this Thursday. Tom on early, because preview tips are concession for everyone, I think. So get into it early this Thursday, Saturday, Sunday, and Friday.
I'll be sure you'll be visiting other capital cities for your show.
Yes, I'm going to be getting out there. Don't worry about that.
Everywhere we've heard, I must remind you that Capel has begun.
Put on Capel.
Get a cape on, wear it to work.
April, I love April.
If your photo is our favourite, you will win some sort of fancy iPad computer. To get this podcast, the new one, Podcast 70, has gone up. And a new drive program starts on Triple M today. Will and Lima will be remiss not to point you until 4 o'clock. I think that's all the business out of the way, then we're good. Okay, thanks for putting in, Tom. And Keith Bain, what was it today?
Aluminium hats.
The girl's happy.